I received a funny email. I guess interesting would be a better word for it. I received an email on Monday, and in the subject line, it simply said, "Missing Jesus." Now, some of you may have heard what happened, but basically, in our nativity scene out here, on Monday, baby Jesus was gone. I am not kidding. And so if you walked by there today, there is a replacement Jesus out there. Someone, we got a little, some burlap it looked like. And so baby Jesus has been replaced out in the manger scene out there. But seriously, on Monday I get this. And so I'm thinking about it. I walk over to the manger scene and I looked in and I saw Mary and Joseph kneeling. I saw the wise men. I saw all of those things. And the manger was empty. And the first thing that crossed my mind was, if you take baby Jesus out of that scene, all you have are a few people kneeling down in a barn somewhere. Right? It just doesn't make any sense if you have a nativity scene without Jesus. Well, you know, there has, for many years now, and it has heightened lately, this cry for taking Christ out of Christmas. In fact, I looked at one. There's a graphic that says we need to take Christ. The first one you can see, the Christ. Who needs Christ during Christmas? And the answer by atheist.org is nobody. Some of you may have heard it called Happy Holidays or Happy Winter Solstice. Check this out. You know it's a myth, this season, celebrate reason. That's the American Atheist. And here's my thought on that. If we want to really look at reason, we have two choices when we think about Christmas. And you go all the way back to the beginning. Either nothing came out, or something came out of nothing, or God made something out of nothing. Now, I may be shallow in my thinking, but it's interesting that if you take reason, it makes more sense to say that there is an intelligence out there that had the ability to make something out of nothing than to just simply say that nothing was around and then something happened. So I'm fine. Let's celebrate reason this season. But we also talk about the winter solstice. By the way, how many of you knew today is the winter solstice? Raise your hand. Today, December 21st, listen to this. At this season of the winter solstice, let's reason prevail. Okay, that's fine with me. But wait a second. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. How did our natural world get here? Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves mind. And this is from the Freedom of Religious Foundation, FFRF.org. Now, the winter solstice is a celebration, and basically solstice means the sun set still. So tonight will be the longest night in the northern hemisphere. It will be the longest, darkest hours, right? You have one in the summer as well. And so a winter solstice is the celebration, the festival of light breaking out of the darkness. It's the rebirth of the sun, if you will. So just like others have decided that they would hijack Christmas and make it something else, maybe we ought to hijack winter solstice and say, yep, we'll celebrate that too, because the sun has broken through the darkness and his name is Jesus. So don't be afraid of all those happy holidays. That's true. Happy holidays. I hope you have happy holidays. By the way, Christmas is blatantly Christian because Christ mess means the mass of Christ that was celebrated. Some will say, and I just think we ought to be educated. Some will say, well, wait a second. The celebration of the winter solstice was around before celebration of Christmas. And the answer is, that is true. You see, what happened in the early centuries, about 300 or so, 400 AD, There were pagan celebrations celebrating the new sun or the new light that was come. They had these pagan holidays. So the early church chose a day, December 25th, and said, you know what? We're going to take this pagan holiday and we're going to make it a spiritual holiday, a celebration of the birth of Jesus. So if we take Christ out of Christmas, then there's no such thing as that word at all. So today I want us to do that because some are wanting us to do that. Let's just take Christ out of Christmas. And I want to ask you a question. When you look around your house today or think about the season that you've been enjoying, if Christ had never come, what would be different? What would be different in your decorations for this holiday? What would be in mind? What would be different in our celebrations? If Christ had not come, what is different? And really what I want us to look at today is what would be different in our personal lives? What if Christ had not come? What if there was no Christmas? We could still celebrate Santa Claus, couldn't we? And still celebrate Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and lights and presents and all that fun stuff. But what's different if Christ is taken out of the mix? If you have your Bible with you, I want you to look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. I know that seems like a strange passage for a Christmas message, but I want you to see Ephesians chapter 2 because I want us to understand something. I want us to take a moment and to imagine. It's going to be difficult for some, and I have to tell you, as I've been studying for this, it's hard for me to take Christ out of what things would look like because Christ is all around us and in so many different things. But if we could just take him out for a second, I want us to see something. Now, what was going on in the religious circles at the time of Christ? Well, you had a few religious groups at that time. You had Greek and Roman mythology that was a part of what was going on during that time. Hinduism is the oldest religion. That started back in about 2500 BC. Judaism was began in around 2000 when you had Abraham come on the scene. And then you had Buddhism. Buddhism started in about 500 BC. So when Jesus came around 3 BC or so, let's not argue exactly when that happened, but when he came around 3 BC, whatever, AD, then you really had the strong mythology influence. You had the Romans, the Greeks, you had Hinduism, you had Judaism, and you had a little bit of Buddhism during that day. Now, I want to ask you this. If there's no Christianity, which one of those religions will you choose? Well, let me give you a little idea because your first thought may be Judaism. Well, let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. I want you to read it knowing that Paul is talking about Jesus coming, but imagine if he had not. I want you to get a picture because most of us in this room, we are not Jewish people. We are Gentiles. We are non-Jews. Listen to these words, Ephesians 2, verse 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, that's Gentiles versus the Jews, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Listen to this. This is our condition. Right? Remember that you were at that time, what time before Jesus came? Separate from the Messiah. That's the Christ. We didn't have the Messiah. Excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in this world. For the vast majority of people in this room today, those are the words that describe us. Separate, excluded, strangers, no hope without God. Because we simply were not born Jewish people. So what would we choose? Really, when you look at the way that religion works, there's only two choices, unless you want to say there's no God at all. You have polytheism and monotheism. Polytheism means that there are a lot of gods. In the Hindu faith, there are over 20 million gods that are worshipped. And pantheism is a part of that as well. And what that simply means is that we become one with God one day. So we are all gods. God is us. We are God. And so that's an option. If you want to choose Hinduism, Buddhism is sort of a part of that. Buddhism is sort of a designer religion. By the way, it's the fastest growing religion in the United States. It's not called Buddhism as much as it's the New Age movement, Enlightenment movement. That's simply Buddhism. But the reason it's so appealing here in the United States is because it's peaceful. It's designer religion. It can be whatever you want. Whatever you want to believe. I visited a Buddhist temple one time when I was living in Houston. I went in with some of my staff there and I started asking them questions, and they had all these different places of worship. And I said, man, this is amazing. I said, is it okay if I worship Jesus here? They said, absolutely. You can worship Jesus. You can worship Allah. You can worship any God you want to. Now, doesn't that feel good? Do you see how that's appealing to a lot of folks these days? That's a feel-good religion. You can just make it however you want. So if you take Christianity out, maybe you'd choose Buddhism. That's polytheism. Now listen, very important. From Judaism, you have two major religions. The two largest religions today flow out of Judaism, and that is Christianity and Islam. But we're going to take Christianity out of there. Boop. So now, the largest religion in the world today is Islam, because now there's no Christ, right? The way the system works is you have Abraham, Isaac, trickle all the way down to Jesus. In Islam, you have Abraham, Ishmael, trickle down to Muhammad. Now, here's something that I think interesting. In the Nicene Creed of 325 AD, the early church declared that Jesus Christ was indeed God in the flesh. Interesting that about 275 years later, Muhammad comes on the scene, and he has what you have heard today called the Shahada. You know what the Shahada is? It is the declaration of faith of the Muslims. And I want you to hear, knowing that the Toyota Creed? The Nicene Creed back in 325 declared Jesus is God. Clearly, Christianity says Jesus is God. So the Shahada says that there is one God and it is Allah. And Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Do you see that Islam, even in those beginning days, was a response to the declaration of the church that Jesus Christ is indeed God? But if we take Jesus out of the picture, we have to make a choice. Which religion? We're going to think any of them? Maybe we choose nothing? But see, Jesus did come, and this is something very important. No other religions teach us some very specific and important things about God, and I want to give you just two today. These two things we would not know if Christ had not come. We would have known about God being holy. We can read that in the Old Testament, right? We know that God is sovereign. God is omnipotent. We know a bunch of amazing things about God, but there are a couple things we would absolutely not know about God except that Jesus came. And one of those things is the grace of God. In Ephesians, this same passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, God's word says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. If you'll notice there in verse 8, it says, by grace you have been saved. There is a phrase called moksha in Eastern religion. Moksha simply means that you have reincarnation and you keep dying and being reborn, dying and reborn, until finally you become one with the universe. So those who choose a polytheistic religion, then you'll just keep coming back and coming back until hopefully one day your salvation is you become one with the universe. If you chose Judaism during that day, this place of worship would be an absolute mess with blood sacrifice and live animals and goats, right? If Jesus hadn't come, that's what it would have looked like. But it says here, it's by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Through Jesus, we understand every other religion, you have to earn your salvation in some form. Only in Christianity, the only one, do we know that our salvation comes because Jesus Christ came and gave his life for us. That's the only religion. I mentioned to y'all a few weeks ago, I was in Palo Alto, California for a wedding. And I got up early on a Sunday morning. And before the sun came up, they said coffee would be ready at 6. So I went out and a little before 6. And the coffee was already there. So yay. I grabbed some coffee. I went, just started walking downtown, and I sat in this open area. And as I'm sitting there, I'm just, you know, praying, reading, relaxing, watching the few people that were coming by. And over my right shoulder, a couple came up, a man and a woman, and they said, "Hi, how are you?" I said, "Fantastic." And they had their Jehovah Witness little tags on, and they started sharing with me, "What are you doing here?" A few pleasantries, great. So I decided that I would play the seeker card, that I'm a seeker, right? I'm just trying to find truth. So I said, "What are you guys doing here? We're just out telling people about God." And I said, "You know, I said, I want you to know, I absolutely believe that somebody had to create this place. I just have to believe that we didn't just accidentally happen. And so we'll just call him God. Yes, God created the world." I said, and you know, I believe that since God created the world, that he wants us to know him in some way. And, you know, they start talking about ways that we can know God. They gave me the little handout and things like that. And actually, a lot of it was pretty accurate. So I'm kind of perusing it really quickly. And I just said, "Well, you know," I said, "I just want to be sure that I go to heaven one day." And they said, "Well, yeah, of course, that's something we want, to be in paradise with God one day." I said, "Let me ask you." I said, "Is there a way in your belief system that I can know for sure that I'm going to heaven?" "Well, we believe that there are really two things. And if you do these two things, it would be okay. Love God and love other people." And I thought, you know what? I agree with you about the love God, love other people. That's wonderful. But then I pressed the question. "So if I love God and love other people, I can know for sure I'm going to heaven." "Well, not necessarily." And I said, "But I want to know. Tell me how I can know. I do not want to miss this. Tell me how I can know that I'm going to be in heaven with God who created me in this world." And they said, quote, "You seem like a nice guy. I'm sure it's all going to work out." End quote. And I said, "Thank you." They invited me to their church. But that phrase didn't leave my mind, because that's what so many people think. "Well, if I just do good, it'll all work out." Wrong. For by grace are we saved through faith, and there's no way we would know that except that Jesus is the celebration of Christmas. The other thing I want us to know we would not have known if Christ did not come, and that is the nearness of God. In the Old Testament, or in polytheistic of religions, God is distant. He doesn't care about you or about me. God is one of those who is waiting for us to earn his favor. Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to see a couple verses, or Ephesians 2, sorry. Ephesians 2 verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Look at verse 18. "Through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father." We can draw near to this holy, omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty, powerful God because of Jesus. And through him, the Christ of Christmas, we've learned these things about God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Christian, because Jesus came, you don't need anybody to go to God on your behalf. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor. You have the privilege and the right, because of Jesus, to go right into the nearness and presence of God. And we would not have known that if Jesus had not come. If you look back or into Matthew 11 about the nearness of God, God's word says, "Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest," Jesus said. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But wait a second, if we take Jesus out, we've never heard those words, have we? Because those are the words of Jesus. We also wouldn't have heard, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world may be saved." But wait, if we take Christ out, if Christ is missing from Christmas, then those are things that we can't know. In Ephesians chapter 2, just to sort of summarize the rest of it, what had happened is that the Jews and the Gentiles were fighting against each other. The Gentiles were excluded. The Jews saw themselves as God's chosen people, and they were. But the wall had been broken down. You can read this later. This is Ephesians 2, verse 14 through 17, 18, even through the rest of the chapter. But it shows how that wall is broken down. This is what it means for us on how we can come near the nearness of God. Regardless of your race or skin color, regardless of if you showed up today a Buddhist, a Hindu, or whatever you may be, In Christ, he can bring us all into the nearness and grace of God. We all have different backgrounds. Some of you were raised agnostic. You kind of knew there was a God, but you didn't know more than that. God can use any kind of background that you have, but the door is Jesus, the Christ of Christmas. So we can take Christ out. What spiritual condition would we be in? But thankfully, Christ is a part of Christmas. But I wonder if in some ways we've kind of let Jesus go missing in our celebration. I love the presents and the lights and the toys and the stuff. But practically, what difference has Jesus made in your life? What do you do today? What did you do yesterday that would be different if Jesus had not come? You see, that's a real test, right? To place Jesus not just in the Christmas celebration, but right in the middle of our everyday life, so that Christ makes a difference in the things that we do. So I read a story that there's an old church in the Northeast, and they had Christmas Day services. And so on Christmas Day, as the Christmas Mass, as the priest or pastor would get there a little bit early, and you may not know that we do this. We have lots of folks walk around, make sure everything is in place, right? So this pastor is walking around, and he walks through the church. And as he's looking around, he checks, makes sure everything is in place. And he walks over to the nativity scene, and he couldn't believe his eyes. Baby Jesus is missing. He looked everywhere in every closet. He called everybody trying to figure out what in the world has happened. Who would steal baby Jesus? And as he looked around, finally he thought, there's nothing I can do. Church is beginning. So church started, and he couldn't help it. He had to share with the congregation. Folks, you may not have noticed, but in our nativity scene, baby Jesus is missing. And I want you to know, if you took baby Jesus, no questions asked, would you please bring him back? Well, he went through the service, and after the service was over, everybody waved, shook hands, walked out. It still bugged that pastor a little bit, and so he went walking around. He went toward the square of town, and he saw a little boy named Tommy. Tommy was from a family that they were a little poor. They didn't have a lot, but as he noticed, he looked at a distance, and he saw Tommy with a little red wagon, and he thought, you know what? I'm going to go say hello to Tommy. I know that it must have been a great sacrifice for his mom and dad to buy them this little red wagon. It must have been amazing. So he walked over to Tommy. Hey, Tommy, how are you? Oh, I love your beautiful red wagon. And when he looked, he saw baby Jesus. And he got on one knee before Tommy and he said, Tommy, why did you steal baby Jesus? And he said, I didn't steal baby Jesus. He said, look, there he is. You stole baby Jesus. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, baby Jesus is my Savior. And I've been asking for a red wagon for a long time. And I told Jesus, if you will give me a red wagon this Christmas, you will be the first to get a ride. Isn't that great? So yes, you already know the answer. I'm the one who stole baby Jesus. The season that we celebrate, the life, the joy is because of this one. And whether we want to call it Merry Christmas, which is what I prefer, or whether we want to say happy holidays, I say we hijack winter solstice as well. Because winter solstice is simply this. That in the darkest of days, the light has come. And that light of the world is Jesus.